Good morning. It's Thursday, September 3rd. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson and joined, as always, by Jim Healy. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm doing pretty well. I am enjoying a little change of scenery, a little change of weather.
I want to know what's happening outside. The ground was all moist. Sidewalks were wet. Something I'm totally not familiar, and I don't know if I'm feeling comfortable, you know, about this change in my space.
Yeah, it's something I remember from when I was a younger man.
I think back in April?
Yeah, exactly.
It's glorious, isn't it?
It is. My lawn is very happy. I thought maybe I was done mowing the lawn for the year, but I don't think so.
No,
it's already turning green again, and yeah,
it is happy, and I'm happy.
Yeah, me too. I think, you know, a lot of people don't care for rainy days. I'm sure there's some kids who are enjoying the last week of summer who maybe wish it was a sunny time.
Yeah, they can. That's life.
I think they can
deal with it.
Every conversation I've been overhearing, you know, in line at the grocery store has been nothing but happy about this new weather pattern that we're seeing.
And, you know, not only the rain, but the lowering of temperatures, you know, which I really enjoy, plus the clearing of the air.
Let me tell you a little bit about the weather that we're having.
Tell me.
Today and tomorrow, highs of 65 degrees.
Love it.
30% chance of showers tomorrow. 30% chance of showers overnight on Friday. On Saturday, a high of 67 and a 50% chance of showers. And then on Sunday, we should get at least one more kind of nice day on Labor Day weekend. Partly sunny, high of 72.
That's right.
I know. Yeah, and then Monday is Labor Day. High of 68, 50% chance of showers. So it doesn't look like a constant rain, but kind of off and on for the
next
few days.
We'll take it, even if it's specific, like to a block area.
Yeah.
We will take it. I just want to say, you know, I usually do the D.C. weather, Washington, D.C., through the magic of Alexa and my sister and brother-in-law. And I want to go, nah, 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 nah. Weather now, she says, 79, get this. High of 94. Ha, 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 ha. You know, that's the way I feel about it. We're basking in what, 65 for high?
For the high today, yeah. Currently 55.
She says, cloudy now with a sunny afternoon predicted. Please take it.
Joining us in the studio this morning, clad in denim and a sweater, is Derek Collison, Development and Community Engagement Manager for the festival at Sandpoint. Yes. You're leaning into fall. Sorry, and your microphone is on now. As is Paul Gunter is here, bearing gifts, as he so often does.
We're so not worthy.
Yeah.
We'll take them anyway.
We have some delicious smelling coffee from that looks like you stopped by Evans Brothers on your way down. And
Evans Brothers, Church Street, Sandpoint, Idaho.
Yeah.
Granary District.
The best part of the whole district.
And Paul has a title that I so often forget. He's the...
That is also
the
true.
Man.
Education and production or site? Yeah, education and site...
Production.
Production manager. Should we say that?
We should.
Let's say that.
I think we will from now on.
All right. And you are both here from the festival at Sandpoint.
Also true.
It's a thing of the past.
It is never a thing of the past.
I don't.
We are constantly in motion.
Wasn't that like last August?
This past August?
Yeah.
That'd be one way of saying it.
Yeah. So much has happened
that we've had.
The last August we've had.
Yep.
I'll never forget that August.
And we've invited them into the studio to talk about the events of this past August.
Yeah,
else is coming up.
I'm just sort of fascinated now that you've had a chance to relax a bit. And we have a tendency to think that it's seasonal. your activities, but we've come aware of that it's ongoing throughout the entire year. And before we talk about where you're at now, let's look back at the previous festival. Your thoughts on it, what have you learned, and just anything in general about this past festival?
That's a big umbrella.
What have we learned? Wow. Well,
isn't that appropriate for the weather we're having?
No, that's great. One thing I won't say is learned, but just reconfirmed, I suppose, wildfire smoke.
Nasty.
Is uncontrollable and
that's right.
The bane of our existence.
Correct.
Rick Springfield had to cancel. Mm-hmm. Totally. That's got to be hard.
Fully
on.
Set up after a sound check. Full deal.
Full. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He walked right off stage and said, no, thank you.
Is that part of a contract? Heavenly disasters?
There are
like that?
Certain. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The short answer is yes. Depending on what the weather is and the extremity of that weather, it falls either under act of God, force majeure, or it can fall under separate policies.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the situation, lightning, rain, smoke.
Wow.
Terrorism. Mm-hmm. A little bit of everything.
Trying to get through the gates with a gun?
Not allowed.
Any of that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we have policies and plans for all of those things.
But that's out of your control in one sense,
part of it is, part of it isn't, and we control what we can. And
exactly.
Sometimes it gets too smoky to have a movie in concert.
Mm-hmm. This was the first year, but we'll talk about this bleak news before getting to the happier stuff, I guess.
We'll get it out of the way now.
This was the first year, I believe, that you had two concerts canceled, or at least two back-to-back.
Correct.
The last two concerts.
Yeah. What a dour note to end the week on, but... What can you do?
Looking back, had we known at the time that Switchfoot was going to be the grand finale...
you had all those fireworks, I suppose.
Oh, we had a truckload of explosives ready to go.
Maybe nobody wanted them at that time. I don't know.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
Bad
idea. We had canceled entirely the grand finale, we had already made the decision to not
launch any more
fireworks with the
pollutants into the air.
More pollutants in the air and just the events of the surrounding area. It didn't feel like celebrating with explosives was really the right move,
not
even though it is over the water and it's very safe.
Yeah. So to get a little bit into the nitty gritty, it's the artist's call, basically. And on the day of, you had Rick Springfield on the stage, and he just said, "I'm not doing it." And that's his prerogative.
Came out, they did the sound check.
Yeah.
Too smoky to breathe, too smoky to sing.
Yeah.
At which point they said, "We can't do it to the best of our ability."
Mm-hmm.
If we do a show, it would be really short, and it would be lower quality than what we want to put on stage with our name attached.
And I think we were all really grateful for him to be able to make that decision, that he knew himself, that he knew his band, that he knew his limits, and that he called it. It was later in the day than I think anyone really would have liked, but I'm glad that it happened when it did and not, halfway through the show.
Mm-hmm.
So small things.
So when he cancels saying, "I can't go on," what do you guys do?
We go into cancel show mode.
Okay. In terms of how do you get the word out? Do you have people standing at the gate?
There's this little Lance RV trailer backstage that a lot of people pile into.
Yeah.
And we start various disaster protocols.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's a wave of communications to our volunteers, ticket holders, employees, food vendors.
Concessions, you bet, across
all
bar.
Kinds of stuff.
And it's a very coordinated effort. Everything goes out at the same time, so everybody is alerted at the same time. At that point in the day, we had already had volunteers arriving on the field.
Yeah.
So I got to go let them know that the show had been canceled. And then our gates crew is just amazing. They're so adjustable. They're able to pivot. And so once I let them know, then they went into the park and had the sad job of letting all of the people that were camped out in the park.
Some were waiting.
A whole lot of people were waiting. We had someone that I talked to, they had driven 7 hours So I kind of stood out in the street there in front of the field. And when people would pull up to park in handicap and they'd be like, wow, I got this great spot right up front. And I would just slowly walk over to their car and, you know,
and break their hearts.
And break their hearts. And so it was rough. But, you know, that night it was a hard night, but our team worked well. It was amazing the way we were able to kind of pivot. I think as soon as we knew that he was not going to be able to perform that night, we, our opening band was on stage doing a sound check at that moment. And so we thought, you know, these poor guys. So immediately we went into action, tried to find a backup plan, got in touch with Matchwood. Luckily, they were not having music that night. So we pivoted. We took the opening band over to Matchwood. And told all of our sponsors, all of our volunteers, like, hey, the concert is canceled, but, you know, if you still want to listen to some live music, head over to Matchwood. And a couple of our staff members went over there. They sold merch for the Buckley Storms. When I got to Matchwood, that place was packed. People had brought their chairs. They were sitting in the parking lot. Cool. It was a real example of how our community can come together and still support each other, even under less than ideal circumstances. It was pretty amazing.
Cool. Well, a little silver lining there.
Yeah.
So what happens after an artist cancels? Is there, and it is, due to circumstances just beyond anyone's control, is there insurance that kicks in and you guys get, you get made whole in some respect? Or does Rick Springfield, if you were a regular venue, probably this would mean just a delay, and Rick Springfield would come back.
In most cases,
when the weather clears,
find another day,
right,
within 2 weeks or a month, and do the show again,
right.
Being a pop-up venue on Memorial Field with high school sports starting right on our tail, we don't have that option. So something like this comes up. Unfortunately for us, it is a cancellation. When it's the artist call, that's separate than being like a weather scenario or like an emergency lightning of some kind. Yeah. Exactly. So there are things like we get our deposit back on the band and things. So we're not paying the band and also paying out refunds, which is nice. If it is a weather scenario, we do have some insurance policies that will kick in for certain things at certain limits, whether it's AQI or the amount of rain that falls per hour or whatever the situation is. And there is some money that can be made back there, recovered there, but never really made whole. But
does Mr. Springfield, you know, does he owe you, like, does he have to offer you a spot next year or anything like that?
No, I think the only thing in the contract is just a handwritten note of apology. Wait a minute. No.
Send us some flowers.
No, it is. It's just, you know, everybody.
That's where it goes.
It happens.
Right. Everybody grabs their stuff. We pack their truck up. The guys are on stage finishing their sound check, the Buckley Storms, and his Springfield's crew was very eager to just turn and burn. They're like, we're not doing the show.
Yeah.
Let's do this while it's still light out. So they're up there unplugging stuff and moving it around, and I walked on stage to give them the bad news, and they pretty much already knew at that point. They're like, hey, wait a minute. they said this was all the room we have. Why are they moving everything?
Yeah.
They were great. They were only going to – the Buckley Storms was going to give us a 45-minute opener set, and that was all they had planned to perform for us. And when they went to Matchwood, they played for 2 hours.
Wow.
It was amazing.
We're talking with Derek Collison and Paul Gunter from the Festival at Sandpoint about a smoke-filled festival 2026. Let's see. And then you, did you know at that point when Rick Springfield was canceled, did you know basically probably Sunday night isn't going to happen either? Or was that another?
No. I think the way I understand it, Rick Springfield chose to cancel. Our weather kind of parameters hadn't kicked in at that moment. We were all set to go for a show. But then I think everyone realized Saturday night, when we all woke up Sunday morning, I woke up with a headache. You know, I mean, I think we all woke up and realized that things had rapidly deteriorated overnight. And so then that's when our team takes a look at what's the weather, what's our AQI, what's safe. And that's when, you know, we check those numbers and realize that we cannot safely hold a show. And so then we can choose to cancel once we've hit those parameters.
Okay.
And with 27 wins on stage, it's tough.
Yeah.
A lot of the string players got very good at performing with masks on during the COVID era.
That's right. That's right.
For orchestral performances, different groups figured out how to split their wins and figure out who plays what, who sits where, so you're not doing any of the breathing on each other and whatnot. For smoke and outdoor performances, we do a lot of the same things. But on our stage, we're limited to how many people we can physically fit.
Yeah.
So if we're down even two people per section for smoke, it it turns into a whole situation.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. The horns is one thing I almost didn't even think about. But yeah, when you're, yeah, people just can't.
We had like
you can't
70,
take a full
you can
breath.
Play the glockenspiel with a mask on.
I think we had 70 plus musicians
yeah.
Scheduled to be on our stage that
78
night.
Or 79, yeah.
Yeah. No, 80.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, how was morale among the festival volunteers and staff at the end of those 2 days?
Disappointed.
Different than it was before those 2 days.
Yeah.
We look forward to the last one.
Yeah. Leading up to the last little chunk there, it was a great season overall.
Yeah.
Lots of fun shows. A great crew of volunteers yet again this year. Great production crew, great summertime staff, great interns again this year. Every part of it, I feel like.
It was great.
Was going real well. Yeah.
We all kind of become a really intensely bonded family for about 3.5 weeks. Working long days. We're all on the field from, you know, morning to night. We spend a lot of time together, and it just works out wonderfully. So we were all disappointed, but it's great to see everyone kind of come together and pivot and, you know, keep us going even under bad circumstances.
So you had a disappointing end. Where does that take you into the rest of August and where you're at now?
Well, we just shift our focus to the positive things. There's not a lot we can do about, you know, financially. You know, it's not great. What are you going to do? We can't print money in the backyard. So we just keep moving forward and focus on the other programs that we're doing throughout the year. So it's September. It's perfect time for Paul and I. We're back to being really busy, Paul and I are. We got a couple weeks off. And
got an office full of trombones right now. Yeah.
At all, are you thinking of next year's lineup?
I think that started maybe April or May this year.
So you're not booking, but thinking about.
Yeah, I think we're
Madison
there may
is
be
always
some offers
a,
out.
A full year or more ahead on the calendar in the booking realm. Talent buying is another thing that changed a lot during the post-COVID era. And yeah, it's changing a little bit now. The last 2 years after our big boom, where every small venue and medium-sized venue around was, we were just printing money there for a couple years. Everybody was back to seeing live shows, and it was the thing. But, you know, gas is $4.80 again right now.
And traveling 7 hours to see.
Costs a lot to fill up your car and buy groceries. And the live entertainment industry as a whole was down again for the summertime this year. And understandably so.
Did that person who drove 7 hours, did they get a hug or anything like that?
I felt so bad for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one lady cried when I told her because, you know, Rick Springfield was on her bucket list and she saw him when she was 16 and her daughter were coming and it was painful.
Sad times.
Sad times.
Okay, we should talk about some highlights. I have one question more about the smoke, though. I mean, this is there anything you can do in the future? You can't make the air clear in that area.
How about we put a dome on Memorial Field?
Right. Well, I'm thinking, is there any other place you can go in an emergency? Like, if you're looking at the weather forecast for August, and it looks like it's going to be bad for some reason, either, you know, you're going to have a 3 days of rain or you're going to have a smoke out like we had this year. Is there any place that the festival can go indoors?
Not for our bigger shows.
Yeah.
for something like one of our support acts, like the turn we did with the Buckley Storms.
You can go to Matchwood.
We could go to Matchwood. We could go, some of those bands would fit well at the Hive or the Panada.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a show that we've sold 3,500 tickets for,
there's
not a physical space we can go. No. A lot of times, if we did have to move a symphonic show, we would go to a high school auditorium or gymnasium, somewhere that just has the physical space to put that many people, but we're limited on those options as well.
Yeah, there is no real backup in the area, I guess.
No, nothing over 500 seats.
No.
And then even then you get up to maybe 1,000, but it's in a gym.
Right.
So maybe for certain things it'll work.
Maybe one of those hangars out at the airport you could go in. Yeah. Well, something to think about. Although those don't have the air filtration, so what are we going to do?
They do have doors.
They do have doors. Yeah. Get a whole bunch of, get a whole bunch of those little air purifiers all running at once. Maybe. All right. That was just my idea. Let's talk a little bit about some of the highlights, though, now that we've talked about the lowlights. Your favorite nights of the festival?
Oh,
did you have one that stood out?
I think my favorite night was Switchfoot. Oh, it was, I wasn't sure what to expect. I knew it was going to be a fun night. And I knew there was a lot of excitement around this band, but I haven't really listened to their music in quite some time. And that show filled my cup. It was amazing. They pulled people up on the stage. I saw this kid come through the gate early, and he had bought an individual ticket, and he bought the $35 early entry, and he came in with a sign. And he was probably the third or fourth person through the gate, and he ran to the front of the stage, and that kid must have just stayed there, because a couple hours later, Switchfoot pulled him up on stage. He played guitar. He sang with them. It was heartwarming. And he was like, "You guys are my favorite band. This is amazing." And they said, "Well, do you play guitar?" And he's like, "Yeah." So they give him a guitar. And then they said, "Well, do you sing?" And he said, "Yeah." And so he sang and played guitar. It was incredible. And then they also, Switchfoot also worked with a nonprofit, I think, from, then they brought a kid down from Bonner's Ferry who has suffered through a lot of different health setbacks, and they knew he was coming up on stage, and so they had like 25 people in their group, and they came, and we set them up a little special spot to sit in, and then he got up on stage and got to talk and sing. And I think at the end of that night, everyone was just happy and joyful, and it was, if we had to end on a night unexpectedly, that was the night to end on for me.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. Let's see, Paul, what was your favorite? Did you have one?
Well, that's like asking someone, who's your favorite child?
Yeah.
Well, whoa, if they ever ask us back.
There were a lot of cool things that happened. My favorite night overall, I think, was probably our community night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For multiple reasons. We got to have our scholarship winner for the Charlie Packard Memorial Songwriting Scholarship. Sophia Brubaker came and performed an original song, which was super cool. We had Hannah Meehan, local music teacher, performed. Sydney Dale was back. She's been on our stage before. She came and performed. And one of my new most favorite bands, especially to see live, Joseph, was unbelievable.
Fantastic.
Cool.
They were fantastic.
The vocals that were happening on the stage were just mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. Hadn't heard of them until you guys had booked them. And now... Yeah, they're great.
The amount of power coming out of three people.
I had goosebumps.
Oof. They're from Oregon?
Yes.
They're somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, yeah. And
they're from the town of Joseph, Oregon.
There you are.
Duh.
They're sisters.
I was wondering. Neither of them are named Joseph.
I know. And then she told on stage that the younger sister was a twin, so there were three sisters. Well, I'm sure there still are three sisters. But currently
but
performing,
not in the
only
band.
Two are performing.
Yikes. So. Okay. Well, there you go. Joseph, and maybe, I mean, yeah, we're
but
within
also
touring
our
radius.
Opening night and second and third nights, but also like our fifth and sixth and seventh nights. Good. So, you know, it's
the whole thing. Yeah.
The whole thing.
Okay. Let's see. Any other highlights? Let's see. From community night, you guys hand out Charlie Packer Memorial Songwriting Scholarship, right?
We had, she performed for us.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we had our vocal scholarship winner and our instrumentalist scholarship winner scheduled to perform on grand finale night as per our usual. A lot of disappointment there that they didn't get to get up on the stage and perform. So looking for a place to let them shine.
Okay. Still. Let's see. Really? Are they, are they all from Sandpoint or the area?
Yes. I do believe our instrumentalist winner is off to college. Okay. And I'm not quite sure about our vocalist winner, but
okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can find a place for him.
Yeah. We'll find a spot. Yeah, we've had past winners come back and do things with us on several occasions. Yeah.
Cool. Let's see. Okay, we're coming up on 8:30 here. We're talking to Derek Carlson and Paul Gunter from the festival at Sandpoint, recapping the 2026 season and talking about what's coming up. Maybe we'll talk about that soon.
Should we take a music break?
Yes, you've queued something up for us here, Jim.
Yeah, on this date, September 3, 1970, take out your Kleenexes. Mm-hmm. The Dave Clark Five broke up.
Oh.
And now you might ask if you remember the British Invasion. This was the first British group that was non-Beatles to break into the top 10 here in the United States in April of 1964. And they had a whole bunch of hits with Bits and Pieces, Over and Over, Catch Me If You Can. But this was their best-selling and lots of energy and lots of fun. So this goes out to those of you who remember Dave Clark Five, because I'm glad all over. Oof. Wasn't that something?
So good.
You know, and you think of the British Invasion with Herman and the Hermits and Jerry and the Pacemakers. And then, of course, the ones who don't go away, the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They
won't stop.
They've got a Today's Date in Music History also.
Which is?
Angie.
Oh, with a Goat's Head Soup.
Yeah.
Well, Didn't you just play that on Monday?
I played that on Monday.
Yeah, it's like he knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. And that was... Yeah. The Stones have a new album. You know that?
I heard a couple cuts and I was like...
This year.
I don't hate it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's not the it's
But
not
you'll
the
put
same,
on...
But it's,
I mean, yeah. They've only been a touring working band for like, what, 55 years?
Yeah. I am impressed with the way... At least as performers, they hold up. I mean, mixed vocals are still pretty good, and Keith can still play. I don't know.
Some
those
how
are the, those
on both
who are
those.
Still
it,
alive.
It can't be explained by logic or science.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, but that's the Rolling Stones. What we heard was the Dave Clark Five, and we are talking to Paul Gunter and Derek Collison from the festival at Sandpoint about the festival at Sandpoint. Having more or less recapped the 2026 festival itself, let's talk about what the rest of the year holds. Like, what is the festival
all
doing
the
in terms of education and stuff now that the school year is getting ready to start up?
Well, we've got a couple of our biggest programs kicking off. Our Youth Strings / Community Strings program, really. Mm-hmm. Is starting up this month. We'll be having two groups again. They rehearse on Mondays at St. Joseph's Catholic Church for an hour each group. The first group is from 4 to 5. The second group is 5:15 to 6:15.
Correct.
And we have a couple performances each year that we do at the First Presbyterian Church. And we'll also be doing one of the showcases at...
Festival of Trees. The Family Day. Yeah.
On November 28th, I think that is.
The Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're working with our orchestra conductor to get a group of kids that want to do an extra performance and show the community what they're all about. And no better place to do it than at the Hive with the Festival of Trees Family Day.
Okay.
So that'll be exciting. And then Paul, he goes back to school too, like all the other kids in the community.
Mm-hmm. Our pre-K music outreach program kicks off again this month, and we're currently expanding that and those offerings a little bit to some more schools. We're taking on the new...
Storybook?
Monarch nope. Montessori Ooh. School.
There's a Ooh. New Montessori school.
There is, for first through third grade. They're going to have 9 students.
Mm-hmm. Wow, where's this located?
Right next door to Huckleberry Montessori, wow. believe it or not.
How about
I
that?
I know, they got a little scene going on over there on Ella. Yeah, so we'll be taking on that program, and we're working with a couple other daycare/preschool facilities to expand our free pre-K program a little bit more this school year.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
By the way, James says hi to Mr. Paul.
Oh,
my goodness.
The most popular guy in town he is.
Yeah.
Did you guys, have you had open house back to school night?
Our school, no, actually. Oh. Just a short answer is no. The kindergartners who go to Washington Elementary have a separate open house next Wednesday.
Oh,
that's,
right.
I was just, when I was panicked, actually, and I had to look, double check. But yeah, all other elementary school kids go on yesterday.
Yes.
Ours is next Wednesday.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah, okay.
So much less chaotic when it's just the kindergarten
kids. That's kind of what I was glad for. It seems like it'd be a little intimidating.
I'll just put a big plug in for Washington Elementary. They have the best kindergarten teachers.
Well, okay.
I highly recommend.
Excellent. Well, yeah.
The children are graduates. I don't know.
Parents of some Northside Huskies. We might have a little situation, but we'll do that off air.
Little rivalry here. Inner elementary rivalry. Let's see. Okay. You guys have a couple of, kind of volunteer events coming up as well.
We don't stop throwing events.
No.
That's what we do.
Why would you?
Why? Let's keep the party going. Mm-hmm. So the first event that we'll do in September is we throw a party for all of our volunteers. We cannot do the festival summer series without our volunteers. There are about 300 of them. They are committed. They are loyal. They show up every day with smiles on their faces, even when they have to tell people Rick Springfield's not going to show. We really value them. And so one of the ways we like to show our appreciation to them is by throwing them a party. And so that'll be September the 15th. We're going to throw our volunteers a party out at the Organic Agricultural Center out on Boyer. The plan is to have one of our Festival Street vendors cater the event, because we want to, a cancellation for a show impacts everybody. And so our Festival Street food vendors, they also had a really rough weekend. So we're trying to support them and do some fun games, kind of just appreciate the people that help us throw the festival every year. So that'll be on September 15th. So if you are a volunteer, you were invited. So hopefully we'll see you there. And then the next Wednesday, September 23rd, we are going to be hosting the Chamber After Hours event at our office on Pine Street from 5 to 7 p.m. So if you want to come to our office, see behind the scenes, play with some instruments, learn a little bit more about what we're doing the other 50 weeks of the year, come on by. We'll be open. We'll have drinks. We'll have some snacks. You'll get to learn all about what we do and meet the people behind the scenes. Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. Some bongo drums. It's real fun. It's a fun event.
Jim, I have to correct you.
Me?
For our Roman listeners, it's 2 days after the Ides of September.
Yeah, it's one of
sometimes it falls on the 15th, sometimes on the 13th. I looked
Roman
it up.
Roman calendar throws me off every month.
Don't even get me started on the Romans.
Those Romans.
Your event is on the 15th out at the Sandpoint Agricultural Center.
Yes.
We have a joint event also that night.
That's right.
Ron Green is playing for the Little Live Radio Hour at the Hive. I don't know how we're going to do all these things
Paul
at once.
Paul can be everywhere all the time.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
We got a couple weeks.
We're going to make it happen.
Okay.
Omnipresent.
What time is your event?
5 to 7 is our event.
Why, it's perfect. Our starts at 7.
You can you just take
that
all
was
those,
intentional.
All come right down to
just bring them all right down to the Hive.
We can get
heck yeah.
I'll see if we can get
and
like
if
a
you're
police
driving
escort,
home.
That would be fantastic.
We can tune in
to a parade
88.5 on your FM dial.
Yes, you can.
Or wherever you get your streaming radio.
Correct, sir.
Mm-hmm. And also you can call 208-265-2992 and donate today. Thank you for your service. carefy.org.
It's nice to have all these
thank you.
All these things in your head. Let's see. Okay, we got
also on the education front, instrument library is open.
Yes.
Open now.
It's pretty much always open, but yes, open now for the biggest part of the year. We have orchestral and beginning band instruments that we loan out.
Mm-hmm.
We hold a deposit for the instrument anywhere from $100 to $150, depending on what the instrument is. We have flutes, trumpets, clarinets, saxophones, piccolos, electric basses and guitars, upright basses,
cellos,
some violas.
Wow.
Drums and percussion.
Trombone.
So many trombones.
That's what I heard. You got to get rid of some of those.
We work with the Lake Pontarre School District and provide 14 trombones to the elementary schools so they can have low brass at each school in beginning band.
Mm-hmm.
And through a hookup through Robin Amond at Amond Music Center down in Spokane, a friend of his ran a music warehouse. They had a model they were discontinuing. We were able to get a pallet of trombones up to Sandpoint for a relatively cheap price and provide them to sixth grade beginning band kids.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they've been in for the summertime and cleaned and repaired and actually went out with a camp for Music Bridges Borders that the Reeds do. Rick and Eleanor Reed put that on every summer. And they have a group of students that come up from Mexico and come and put on a camp and do a series of performances between here and Spokane. And now all those trombones will be going back out to the schools this week so kids can start playing next week. Cool. Yeah, but if anybody that's listening or you know needs an instrument, send them our way. Well, in that same vein, we take instrument donations.
Or if someone is out there wondering, what do I do with
more
this?
More than half of our library are instruments that were donated to us.
And they can be donated at?
525 Pine Street, Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking for? Tubas.
All the things.
I didn't hear you mention tuba.
We don't own any tubas. We do have a great vintage, like pre-World War II silver euphonium.
Ooh. A euphonium. That's like a tuba?
It's like a little mini tuba.
Cool.
Yeah, with a bell that points up instead of out like a baritone.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met a really nice lady on Saturday at Pontarre Days, and she asked me if we take instruments because she had a saxophone that she played when she was in high school many moons ago, and she just was finally ready to let it go, but she wanted to make sure it went to a good home.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
So I told her we would absolutely give it a good home for her.
Mm-hmm. I would think the tuba is one of those things that, I mean, some people finish high school marching band and they're kind of done, you know? And unlike a trumpet, which can just go in a shelf and be forgotten, a tuba, you'd think people would be trying
to
circulate
that in your first dorm room, probably.
No, yeah. I would think those would circulate a little bit more. I'm kind of surprised you don't have tubas. Now you're going to have 10.
Right.
I hope so.
Everybody, they're all going to find their way to you.
Yeah, everybody has one that hasn't been played in 30 years.
Like, it might work. That's where it goes.
Ah, okay. Hey, look at this.
Yeah. Okay, so the instrument library is now open. One of the most, just the most valuable things that the festival does for folks. Let's see. Anything you guys are talking about? I mean, I'm changing gears now, going back to kind of the festival, the big outdoor music series. Anything you guys really liked that you changed this year? Anything you think you'll change again next year, or you know, you're discussing? Or
we had a couple physical layout changes on the field this year that we implemented that I think provided a lot more space for vendors and patrons, which was nice.
We ended up with like a third section on the field because we switched the way that our decking and stage and everything is. And so the first day I went there, I thought, why? I'm so confused. Why does this look so weird and unusual? And it took us a minute to realize it's because we had by switching our layout around a little bit, we ended up adding a third section for seating, which was great. I mean, more people, more space, more room. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it was a little tricky at first, but a really awesome change. So that was really great.
We moved the stage east about 40 feet, and so now the entire seating area is the football playing surface. Mm-hmm. Our drone shots from this year have our production set up, and then the open area for seating is the football field. And being that it's an AstroTurf field, there's a big ruler sewn into the ground. So we use those for all of our layout maps. It's like, I wonder how long this is. Oh,
easy.
It's 63 feet, I bet you. Look at that.
Yeah, that was.
So it opened up a big area, about 40 feet by 300 feet of seating and other usable space for moving our second bar, moving chair rental, and just kind of spreading everything out and providing more space.
We added a third bar this year. That was a new addition. We added a bar back in our Festival Street area, and I think that was probably a pretty positive change. I did not hear some of the same complaints from last year regarding those bar lines. In fact, a friend of mine was right up front at the bar, one of our bars, and I walked by and he said, "Is there any way you can do something about these bar lines?" And I looked around and I'm like, "There's nobody in line with you. You're the only one." He's like, "I know, this is great." So I think that was a really positive change that I think, you know, you never hear about that. You hear all the bar lines were so long. So it was kind of nice to hear someone go, I recognize what you did, and it's a positive change. So that was really good. That was really good to hear too.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. You have a couple where you can get like just buckets of beer, and then a couple where you can get fancy cocktails.
We did the one bar where you can get you know the full bar, and then the two bars you could always grab a bag of beers and take them back to your spot. Another cool change that I am really proud of this year was we did a community organization activation space every night. So some of our larger donor sponsors in their donor package, we give them an activation space. So this would be like Toyota or STCU. They get to come, they bring a tent, they talk to our guests, they give out some, you know, giveaways and such. So this year we had two of our big sponsor donors lined up, and then we decided let's fill the other seven nights with local nonprofit community organizations. And so I reached out and everyone I asked was thrilled at the opportunity. So we got to see groups like Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society the Sandpoint Teen Center came. We had BTAA and the Community Resource and Vision Center. We had Kinnicksu Land Trust. We had the Northern Rockies Trails Project. So we really were able to leverage our guests and our space and uplift some of these local organizations and get them in front of people. And I thought that was a really awesome change for this year, something I was really proud of.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I like that idea. Well done.
Mm-hmm. There was one request that I didn't see coming. We had some fans of the Bicycle Valet.
Oh, yes.
But they weren't necessarily bicycle riders. They were more like bike riders, Harley bike riders. And they were coming to George Thorogood, and they asked, is there motorcycle parking up front, and is there a motorcycle valet? And I thought about our two peeps that went to the Lone Wolf Harley-Davidson class as part of a marketing
thing. And got their motorcycle license.
It was like a three-day class. I don't know if Madison and Sarah should be parking people's bikes, but it was an idea we had
maybe
never come across
year.
Yet. Yeah, motorcycle valet that might be our next big move.
That would be very cool, actually. And you could, you put them on display, nice ones up front, right behind the stage or something like that. For Thorogood,
we'll just have them come every year so you can do more stuff with motorcycles.
Very cool. Let's see. Have we talked much yet about the dates for the Youth String Orchestra? Should we move to the back page?
Practices begin September 21st.
Nice.
That's the first day of Youth Strings Orchestra classes. It gives them about 2 weeks to get settled into school year and kind of get back into those activities. And they do those practices on Monday. And then the performances, I believe, they're in December. They're right before Christmas and then right
we'll
before
be having
May.
One on Monday, December 14th. And Mm-hmm. One on Sunday, May 16th, 2027. Mm-hmm. Also performing.
Festival of Trees.
Booyah.
Family Day.
Oh, nice. How much does that program cost, Era?
$0, Paul.
Yeah, that's right.
It is what? A free and complimentary program that the Festival of Sandpoint is proud to give to our community.
If you're interested, call our office, 208-265-4554. Reach out to any one of us.
Operators are standing by.
We are standing by. If you know it's Sandpoint, so if you know Karen Dignan for an early Karen Ahmet, and have her cell phone number, give her a call directly. You know, these things happen at Sandpoint after all.
Everyone knows everyone.
Somebody listening is like, oh, that's who does it. Yeah, you should join this. But yeah, we're actively promoting the program right now in all of the elementary schools, middle school and high school as well, to expand just kind of how many people we're reaching. We had a bulb the last couple years, a lot of kids that were all the same age that all left at the same time, which was fun for this last year to see some of the younger students rise up and now be in those leadership and mentorship positions. But we've got some empty seats right now on all the instruments, especially basses.
And the number is 208-265-4554.
That's us.
Mm-hmm. We have, look at that. I never realized that our numbers were so closely related.
We've got the pattern same thing going on.
The palindrome at the end there. Ours is 2992, yours is 4554. Well, that's very nice. There's something charming about that, I think. Violin, viola, cello, bass, etc. What else is it in the etc. for orchestral string, Paul?
Well, it depends on the scenario. We have had some winds or kids that double as winds.
Sometimes those
Play flute in band, but play violin in the orchestra kind of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Percussion comes up quite a bit. But as far as like orchestral strings go, that's kind of it.
That's kind of it. Yeah. I couldn't think of any more.
Mm-hmm.
I just was wondering what was included in the et cetera there on the sheet. Okay. Well, practices are weekly at St. Joseph's on Mondays and begin on September 21st. And it's free anybody who plays in the area. I bet you get some, do homeschool kids, are they invited as well?
Absolutely. That's been some of our biggest,
I bet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our bigger groups over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And Karen being from a large family who also all play strings and having a large family of her own who all also play strings.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of Dignans and Ahmets and the expansion of that family over the years. And continue to, which is so fun to see. And they'll come back and help out with performances every now and again.
Cool.
Some of whom now have their own children who aren't quite old enough yet to be, but probably have held some string instruments in their lives.
Sure.
Already at this point, I'm certain.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. We're talking to Derek Collison and Paul Gunter from the festival at Sandpoint, talking about their upcoming activities for the year and what they're doing in between now and next August.
I will say, if you are interested in joining our wider group of friends, like volunteers, our production crew, we start planning for 2027. In 2026. Mm-hmm. So I think the goal is to get those production crew applications and those volunteer applications ready to go by the end of this year. So check our website, festivalatsandpoint.com. There's a little tab on our website that says Get Involved. You can go there. You can fill out an application to be on our production crew, to be one of our volunteers. I believe vendors for Festival Street will go live. So I think October, maybe next month, if not next month, then probably by November, we're hoping to get those applications opened a little bit earlier this year. Typically, it's a January open, but we like to give everybody just as much time as they can to plan and prepare. So if that's something that you're interested in exploring next summer, take a look at our website and or follow us on our social media, because we will be sharing updates there when those applications go live, so that you can get in and get your name in early to be considered for some of those adjacent, you know, positions next summer with our summer series.
Cool.
All volunteer shifts, you get to watch the show for free. So it is a really wonderful way for people that, you know, maybe really want to see Rick Springfield but didn't have the $80 to buy the ticket. Mm-hmm. They come, they scan tickets at the gate for 2 hours, and then they are free to move about the cabin. They can go find a seat on a blanket and watch the show. So a really great way for our local community to get some great live music at zero cost.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then who's coming to the festival next year?
A lot of great people.
Mm-hmm. So many people.
Some music.
Some of them sing. A lot of them play instruments. Uh-huh. We're going to have an orchestra. Yes. Probably for the grand finale, I bet you.
I bet you. Let's cross our fingers that we can get a movie to connect to that orchestra. That would just be fabulous.
That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you... Do you know, do you get, is it a, how long is the list right now? Do you kind of know who's possibly available, or is it, or do these, do people not decide that they're starting a tour until winter, spring?
Okay. So it depends on the band. I mean, some people already know what their touring schedule is for next year.
Yeah.
And it's, there's so many moving parts because, you know, like Paul was saying, we don't have a venue where we can bring you back the next day. We've got 1 day that it's available. One shot. And so, like, this year, George Thorogood ended up being on a Wednesday, and that's typically not a day that we would have a big-name performer like that.
Right.
We kind of reserved that day for our community night, but he was available. And he was like, well, I can't, you know, I can't do Tuesday or Thursday, but I can give you guys Wednesday. And we were like, okay, then.
Cool.
We'll see you on Wednesday. So there's a lot of, we have to be really flexible with a lot of things, but, you know, one night to get one performer, we could have, I don't know, 25 offers, 30 offers out for one night before all of the pieces fall into place to sign that one
person. I think
person.
The booking rate is about 10%.
Yeah.
From what Madison was saying.
Yeah.
She puts about 90 offers out for our 9 shows.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, which is really 8 because we know we're going to have an orchestra performance in some capacity for our grand finale every year. So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for 7 or 8 shows, it's 80 to 90 offers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is crazy.
It's very crazy.
We have some community events we need to discuss. Remind me next time you guys are in, I want to talk about, I'd like to add like a running of the bulls kind of a thing to every morning. Or is it maybe you run down to starting down at the Cedar Street Bridge maybe. Mm. You have a big group run. In front of, you know, heading to the stadium. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. I'm going to work that out.
You've got plenty of time to figure it out.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's a good way to jog off the show from the night before.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's a real community engagement event right there. I'm your girl.
Okay. Good deal. Let's see. Stick around. We don't have time to play another song. We have to talk about a few things coming up, right? It's a big weekend. It's Labor Day weekend.
Huge weekend.
That's right.
Yes. The Artist Studio Tour is coming up. That's brought to you by the Pondere Arts Council. Jim, you have the sheet of paper there about it.
The annual Artist Studio Tour runs from Friday, September the 4th through Sunday, September the 6th. It's a completely free, self-guided driving tour of working studios featuring painters, sculptors, jewelers, potters, glass art. What I like about that is you go into like POAC and you see the completed works. You don't see them in process.
You don't see the clay on the wall next to the wheel. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or the mistakes or like, oops. So that is this weekend. You can grab a physical brochure at the POAC Gallery, 313 North 2nd Avenue, or to the website at artinsandpoint.org. Or you can call 208-263-6139.
Okay.
And can I do a brief shout-out?
You must, yes.
To all of the local gardeners and the University of Idaho Organic Farm and Fish and Game, who have donated food to the community food bank along with Walmart and Super One and Safeway and Yolks and Winter Ridge and the Dollar Store down in Sagal. All of these businesses have been wonderful. And this is just a little eye-opener. If you have those zucchinis that are big enough to carve out and float in Lake Pendere, bring them by the food bank on 1717 Culver. And it's amazing. Clients take them, and they're beautiful. So think about your garden, also your fruit trees. I'm noticing, the apples and the Italian prune plum trees, though it's a little bit early.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the food bank in mind. So that's all I have to say.
I believe you have a bouquet in this week's reader.
You know, just on Tuesday, Idaho Fish and Game brought in walleye and lake trout.
Ooh.
And it's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And hats off to you, Jim. You're a volunteer there every week.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's Fall Fest this weekend as well up at Schweitzer.
It's all happening.
Labor Day weekend.
Lots
everything
of music
happens.
Up there. A lot of live music. I believe
when
one of our
Sand
opening
Creek
bands.
Regatta
is
happening?
Next weekend?
Is it?
I think it's the weekend after Labor Day.
I was just thinking about zucchinis big enough to carve out and float.
That's a great boat.
Maybe
idea.
We. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think KRFY is going to enter a boat this year.
Oh,
a zucchini
you guys
boat.
In?
I a hope. Zucchini boat.
I will come cheer you on.
No.
Absolutely.
The festival's not...
We were asked about providing music on a barge for the event.
That'd be cool.
That would be great.
The barge is, however, going to be homemade, so...
Okay.
We'll see.
Well, maybe not.
We'll see.
Yeah. Acoustic instruments, maybe. Not,
yeah, maybe
not,
just
nothing
a,
electric.
I've
yeah.
got some nice waterproof speakers.
Okay. Well, what was the last thing? Yeah, Fall Fest. Yes, there, you
I
have that.
One last. LPO Rep will present at the Hive, Lady with All the Answers. That's Kate McAllister. In her role as America's favorite advice columnist, Ann Landers. It's a one-person play, September the 11th, 12th, and 13th at the Hive. So support LPO Rep.
That's next weekend.
You bet.
Little Live Radio are coming up with Ron Green on the 15th, and then Alexa Wildish is coming to town to play at the Little Theater on, I think, Saturday the 19th. But we should have her in the studio sometime next week.
Always a big
perform a little bit.
A big performer on this station.
On we go. Thanks for listening to The Morning Show. Dara, Paul, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.